Okay. Good evening to everyone, and once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank God for another opportunity to sit around His Word and learn from His precious Word. So, we are looking into Romans chapter 7. In the last class, we covered verses 1 till verse 13. The subject of our Bible study for chapter 7 was freedom from the law. Freedom from the law. So, we have seen, in fact, we have divided this chapter into three sections. First section was about the comparison of the law. Paul compares Mosaic law with the marriage laws. And in this first section, we have seen the dominance of the law, the dying to the law, and then deliverance from the law. Now, the second section from verses 7 till 13, we have seen the character of the law. Paul says, the law is excellent. It is excellent because it exposes man's sin. And not only it exposes man's sin, but it also provokes sin in man. That's what we have seen in verse 7 and then verse 8 and 9. And then we have also seen the law shows the deceitfulness of sin. And then we have seen the utter sinfulness of sin. We have also seen the law reveals the nature of the lawgiver. That's why Paul says the law is good, the law is holy, the law is spiritual, isn't it? And we have also seen the law condemns sin as well. You know, these are the things that we have seen under the subheading that is character of the law. So now we are going to look from verses 14 till verse 25, which speaks about the conflict with the law. The conflict with the law. So I'm going to read these verses from verses 14 till verse 25. So if you have your Bibles, just follow through. It will be easy when I expose these scriptures. Romans chapter 7 from verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. May God bless the reading of His word and add His blessings to His precious word. Now, this section of scriptures in Romans chapter 7 has known centuries of controversy, because many Bible commentators and many Bible scholars, they have given different views about this passage. Now, these different views from different scholars, I mean given by different scholars, they are not ordinary people. They are great men of God. But they have their own views about this passage. I'm talking about the Greek fathers. I'm talking about Augustine, you know, and I'm talking about Martin Lloyd-Jones, and also Martin Luther and Calvin, you know. So they have their different views, and also they justify by showing some other scriptures, you know. But whatever it may be, because it is a Bible study, I thought it is good for us to know what are these views. Now, one view about this section of scriptures in Romans chapter 7 is, Paul is talking about an unregenerated person, a person who is unsaved. Or in fact, when Paul uses that word I and am or me, that pronouns, he's talking about his pre-conversion experience. And how that view has come is, if you see in verse 14, it says, I am carnal, sold under sin. Now in Romans chapter 6, we have seen that we are dead to sin. And in 6 verse 18, we have seen that we are slaves to righteousness, isn't it? We are dead to sin and alive in Christ, and we are enslaved to God and we are slaves to righteousness. Now that voice, or that those words, are the voice of a Christian or a believer or a saved person. But how can that person say that he is sold under sin? How can he be a slave under sin? So they say that this section of scripture speaks about an unregenerated person. And for example, in verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am. So, and in verse 18, for I know that in me nothing good dwells. So based on these verses, they say that Paul is talking about his pre-conversion experience, that he was not, when he was not saved. Now the other view, or the second view, is that this scripture portion speaks about a mature Christian, that Paul is talking about his post-conversion experience. It speaks about a mature, regenerated person, which is normative to a Christian life. And they say that based on this, that in verse 16 it says, I agree with the law that it is good. No unregenerated person can say that the law is good, and the law is spiritual. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God. An unregenerated person cannot delight in the law. So they say that this scripture portion speaks about Paul's post-conversion experience. There is another view as well, and that view is, they dismiss these both positions of extreme. That is, the person or the I that Paul is mentioning here is neither an unregenerated person, or he is a regenerated person. And this view is given by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he says that a person who is regenerated, how can he say that he is sold under sin? And he says, how can an unregenerated person say that he delights in the law? So this person is neither a regenerated person or an unregenerated person, but he is a person who in the times of revival has come under the conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, and he realized that he is condemned before God, and he is in that state for some time. That is, he is convicted, but he is not converted. And he is remaining in that state. So he is neither regenerated nor unregenerated. That is the view of Martin Lloyd-Jones. There is another view as well. And that view is that he is a Christian enough to delight in the law, but he is not a Christian enough to obey the law. He is still, the mistake that he makes is, he still looks to the law and not to the Spirit for his sanctification. So that is the different views. Now, I always believed that the second view was correct and is always correct. That is, this scripture portion speaks about a mature Christian, a believer, who is struggling in his Christian life, who is battling in his Christian life. And I would like to show by going through all these verses, from verses 14 till verse 25. Now, from verses 14 till verse 16, we see the character of the conflict. Now see how verse 14 starts. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Now, there is no dispute about it. That's why he says, "For we know." That is, everyone agrees that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual because it is the voice of God. It is the utterances of God. It exposes sin. Because it is spiritual, because it deals with the inner being or the inner person, inner man of a believer. And that's why it is spiritual, he says. Now, when God gave the Mosaic law to the children of Israel in Exodus, its significance was more outward. But when you come to Deuteronomy, Moses restates that law. And when he restates that law, he tells the significance of the law is internal. It's not just outward, but it is internal as well. So when you read Deuteronomy chapter 10, he says, "You should love the Lord thy God." And then he says, "Circumcise your hearts. Do not be stiff-necked." You know, this is what he says when he restates the law. So when Paul says here, the law is spiritual, it deals with our inward man. And then he goes on to say that I am carnal. Now the word carnal comes from the Greek word sarkinos, which means fleshy. You know, that is the meaning we get. Fleshy in the sense from a material point of view. Now, a carnal person is not an unregenerated person. He is a Christian. He is a believer, but still under the control of flesh or dominance of flesh. Now, when you see, when Paul addresses the Corinthians or the Galatians, he does not call them as unbelievers. Though there was sin in the church, but still he tells that they were a gifted church. They knew the word of God. They had the knowledge of the word of God. So many good things he tells. But he calls them as carnal. That is childish, immature, not growing. Isn't it? So that is the meaning that we get here for carnal. Now, and he goes on to say, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, this is the phrase that is the thorn in the flesh of many Bible scholars and commentators. How can a person regenerated, in chapter 6 we have seen, who is dead to sin and alive in Christ and slaves to righteousness, how can he say that he is sold under sin? Isn't it? Now here we need to understand that Paul, while writing this letter, he is speaking as a creature of flesh. is speaking as a man who is given over to sin. He has not given himself to sin, but he has given over to sin. Now, when a person is not born again, he has only one nature, isn't it? But once, that is the old nature. But when a person is saved, he has a divine nature that is called as a new nature. That nature is imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, there is always a conflict and a battle between these two natures. Now, sometimes a man of God can give in to that old nature, that sinful nature. And that's what it means when Paul says, I am sold under sin. Now, when we interpret or expose this verse 14, we need to study in the light of verses 22 and 23 as well, or till verse 25. Now, in verse 14, he is not happy with what he is saying. He deplores his condition that he is giving into sin. But when we come to verse 22, he says, that same person says, I delight in the law. Isn't it? A person who deplores his sin is telling in verse 22, I delight in the law. These are words of not an unbeliever. These are the words of a believer, a mature Christian who is battling in his mind between the old nature and the new nature. Someone said like this. Now, this, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in an era, or in fact every Christian now is in an era where the old age and the new age overlap. That is the period we are in. In other words, there is a time exclusively a person is called as a sinner. There will be a time when a believer will be called exclusively as a saint. But in between these two periods, he is in one sense a saint, and in other sense he is a sinner as well. He is a sinner and a saint as well. So that is what Paul is talking about here in verse 14. He deplores his condition and he also delights in the law. So this is the experience of every Christian believer. Now, if we continue, come to verse 15, he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now here, every believer has two serious problems. One is that he cannot do the good that he wants to do. He does the evil that he doesn't want to do. There is a struggle going on in the mind of Paul. There is a struggle that will be going on in the minds of every believer. That is the struggle and the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The old nature and the new nature. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 17 it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Isn't it? How true it is in our lives as Christians and believers as well. We have the desire to do good, but finally we end up doing wrong. And what Paul says here, For what I am doing, I do not understand. Many times we regret, isn't it? Why did I do that? I wanted to do good. I wanted to be good. But still, I am influenced by the sinful nature that is in me. And I end up doing that which is wrong and that which is evil. And Paul says, I do not know why am I doing. So here we see two natures are in conflict with each other. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, our new nature, the divine nature, will never sin. What really sins is our old nature. And that power and influence of that old nature is so much on our lives, and we give in. And the reality is, it is true in every believer's life, isn't it? We began our day today. Is there anyone who did not have even a bad thought in his mind? This, isn't it? So we are living in flesh, in a sinful nature. And that can influence us. So these two natures, the old nature and the new nature, they are at conflict with each other. And why they are at conflict with each other? For simple reason, they are incompatible and irreconcilable. And that's why Paul says, I want to do good, but I'm not able to do. I do not want to do evil, but I do it. And I do not understand. And then in verse 16 he says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Now Paul, in that battle, in that struggle, he still agrees and says that the law is good. Now these are the words of a believer. No unbeliever will say that the law is good. Isn't it? Because when he sins, he will never feel guilty. But here Paul is feeling guilty. And he knows and he tells the law is good because it is making him feel guilty. It is exposing his sin. And that's why Paul agrees, even in that struggle, that the law is good. So we have seen the character of the law. Now from verses 17 till verse 20, Paul gives the cause of the conflict. Now if you see, in verse 17 he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul says, it is not my spiritual nature that does evil or wrong, but it is my unspiritual nature. That is that old nature that does. And how that old nature is provoked, it is because of the sin that dwells in me. How mature you may be in your Christian life, let me tell you, you cannot get rid of that sin or that sinful nature from your life. Because that is the nature that we have inherited from Adam. And that will be there till the end of our life. And that's what Paul says here. Paul is not trying to pass the buck, or he's not trying to give an excuse for doing the wrong things. He's trying to tell the source of the sin is that sinful nature within me. He's admitting, isn't it? It is only a believer can admit and say, I am a sinful person and I am regretting for what I am doing. No unbeliever will do that. No matter how much mature you are in your Christian life, let me tell you, we always fight with this sinful nature within us. Our salvation is a continuous process. When we are saved, we have saved from the penalty of sin, or we are saved from the penalty of sin. But our salvation is not yet complete in the sense that we have not completely delivered from the power and the influence of sin. And that power and influence of sin will be there. That battle will be fighting till the end of our lives. When we become Christians, when we become born again Christians, that battle intensifies. It becomes more. Isn't it? That's how we struggle in our Christian life. These are the words of a person who is struggling, who is battling in his Christian life. And now when we come to verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." The word flesh is human depravity, human sinfulness. It is the corrupt nature of man. Now Paul says, there is no good that dwells in me or in my flesh. Now that doesn't mean Paul never does good things or good works. What it means is the goodness of Paul is not pleasing to the goodness of God. Why? Because the good of Paul is corrupted and it still falls short of the glory of God. In other words, my good is tainted with evil. Man is still in the image of God. He does good things at times. But many times our good things are tainted with sinfulness, with sin, with evil. And still we come short of the glory of God. And that's why Paul says here, "For I know that in me nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me." That means to do good is always before my face. It is always there. But I realize that there is sin in me. There is another nature in me that is battling and is trying me not to do good. So he says, present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. So this is the struggle and the battle of a Christian. Every good thing in human beings is tainted with evil. Verse 19. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Again, he is telling what he said in verse 15. That he wants to do good, but he is not able to do. He does not want to do evil, but he does. Paul is conscious of the divided I. The I that wants to do good and the I that wants to do evil or bad. There is a conflict between desire and performance. He has a desire to do good, but he is not able to put it in action. He is not able to perform it. There is a will, but there is no ability to do it. The problem is not with the will or his resolve, but the problem is with the evil nature, the sin that is present in him, that is preventing him from doing the good. As a believer, he knows the law, he loves the law, he longs for the law, but he cannot do it. That is what he's telling in verse 19. And verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Again, second time he says, the culprit, the alien, the uninvited person in my life, that sin is the culprit. That is the one that is causing problems. The word I there, when Paul uses in verse 20, it is his inner being. Then sin is his sinful nature. And sin is the cause of the conflict. Sin never brings tranquility. Sin always brings troubles, isn't it? If you see in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul compares flesh and the spirit with Ishmael and Isaac, isn't it? Ishmael represents the flesh and Isaac represents the spirit. Now when you go back to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 9, we see Ishmael mocked at Isaac, isn't it? And that's what the flesh does. It opposes, it mocks, it ridicules. You know, that is what sin does in our life. So Paul comes to a conclusion that no matter how mature you are in your Christian life, you cannot get rid of sin in your life. Sin can have a powerful influence on your life. In my own strength, with my own wisdom, according to the law, I cannot deal with sin. In fact, if I rely on the law, it only provokes sin, isn't it? It doesn't eradicate sin. And that was the struggle that Paul was going through. So second thing, he talks about the cause of the conflict. The character of the conflict, the cause of the conflict. And thirdly, we see from verse 21, the contention in the conflict. That contention is between the law of God and the law of sin. Now from verses 1 to verse 25, at least 7 times you find the word law. The word law in Greek is nomos. Now in the previous verses, when Paul mentions that word law, it speaks about the legislation of the law, that is the body of truth, the Mosaic law given to Moses. But now when you come to verse 21, if you see, it says, I find then a law. And then verse 23, it says, I see another law. And then in that same verse, he says, the law of sin. And then again in verse 25, he again mentions the law of sin. That law is nomos, but not in the sense that it is a Mosaic law, but it is a principle. It is a principle, it is a force, it is a rule. And Paul, in this conflict, in this struggle, has discovered a new law. And that's what he says in verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Paul discovered the principle in life. And what is that principle? When I want to do good, evil is right there within me. That is the principle he discovered. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. What is that inward man? That inward man is the inward being. It is man's human spirit with the conscious. Man's human spirit together with the conscious. Now, without God's Holy Spirit in our lives, our own spirit or human spirit or our inner being is unable to overcome our sinful nature. It is only when our spirit is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit, then only we can overcome that sinful nature. Isn't it? And that spirit, that human spirit with the conscience, when it is under the control of the Holy Spirit, always delights in the law. That's why Paul says here, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Isn't it? No unregenerated person will delight in the law. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of God and the scriptures and the law, they are not a delight for an unsaved person. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor he can know them because they are spiritually discerned. It is only our spirit that communicates with God, delights in the law, or the inward man delights in the law. So our inward man, the inner being, should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And that is where the renewing will take place. Now, the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, What does he say? Psalms 1, we all know by heart, isn't it? What is that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, and in his law doth he meditate. So a true believer delights in the law. Then Paul says again, but verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now there are two things which are important in this verse. One is the law of mind. Another is the law of sin. What are these two phrases? The law of mind and the law of sin. The law of mind is the mind under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That is the law of the mind, which always delights in the law. The law of sin is the sinful nature that always opposes the law of mind. Now here we see the battleground is the mind. The emotions are not in view here, but the whole thinking and reasoning faculty. That is, our mind becomes a battleground. And who is fighting for that? It is the law of sin. It wants to take this mind under its control, under its subjection. And once this mind, our thinking and our reasoning, comes under the influence of the law of sin, then what happens is, then our body and the members of our body will go according to the direction of the law of sin. And that's why Paul says, that sin worketh in my body, and through my body in my members. That is, whether it is our hands, our feet, our eyes, or the faculties of our body. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't it how important it is? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Isn't it? That spirit of our mind is the heart of hearts. And that is the place what you think and what you want to do, isn't it? And that where the direction comes. And what we think there, that is how our body and our members act, isn't it? What we think, we put into action. And that is the place that needs a renewal. And that's why Paul says that place has to be renewed. And there is always a battle between the law of the mind and the law of the sin. So there are two principles or two laws are at work in the life of a believer. One is the law of sin and the law of mind. The law of sin at work in Paul's members, that is, it works in Paul's members, that is, in his eyes, hands, feet, and so on, causing them to do evil and make Paul a prisoner or slave of sin. But a mind under the influence of the Holy Spirit always love to delight in the law and do good, that which is pleasing to the law. That's what we see in verse 23. So that is the contention between the law of God and the law of sin. Now we need to understand, whenever you find the word the law, the truth, the faith, it is always speaks about the body of truth, the scriptures, you know. And some scholars, Bible teachers says that the law of God is a moral law. So these are different laws mentioned in this section we have seen, isn't it? One law represents the Mosaic law. Another law is the principle or the force or the rule that Paul has discovered because of the conflict that is going on in his life. Now when we come to verse 24, we see the confession in the conflict or a cry in the conflict. What is that cry? the cry of a believer. He says, "O wretched man that I am." The word wretched means a miserable, I'm in a miserable, distressed condition. In other words, a believer longing to come out or have deliverance from that bondage. That is the cry of a believer. This is not the words or the cry of an unbeliever. And it is the same language that every believer uses, no matter how advanced he is in his holiness or in his Christian life. The believer struggles and struggles against the force of sin. And finally, he senses that he is utterly helpless. There is no way that the law can help him from this conflict or from this battle. And it is that consciousness that drives a believer to look to Christ. Isn't it? That's why he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" The law cannot deliver you from this body of death. The body of death means the body of sin. There is nothing wrong with our bodies. The problem is with the sin. When we give in to sin, sin shows itself up in our bodies, in the members of our body. Because the outcome of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. When sin matures, it brings forth death. That's what we find in James chapter 1. So this is the cry of a believer, a saved person. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" And he finds that answer in verse 25. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He says, thanks be to God because Jesus Christ is my rescuer. He is my deliverer. And he is your deliverer as well. He is your rescuer as well. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. He will be delivering you. We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, Paul says, before that, Paul says, when this corruptible body will put on incorruption, when this mortal body will put on immortality, and the saying will come true, what is that? Death will be swallowed up in victory. And then in verse 57 he says, thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this I that Paul is talking about is struggling in his life, in his own strength, being under the law, that the law can deliver him. But he cannot find that deliverance. It is only through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can find this deliverance. That's why he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that way of deliverance is to live in accordance with the Spirit and also led by the Spirit. That's what we see in the next chapter, Romans chapter 8. If you see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, he says here, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And also in verse 14 it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We should be led and directed by the Holy Spirit in order to overcome that sinful nature that is so powerful in us, trying to influence, trying to lure us and seduce us. It is only by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that you and I can overcome that struggle. Now, when you come to the last part of verse 25, many Bible scholars say that these lines are not in place. They should not be there. But actually, when you see the original manuscript, they say these verses are there. And how do they fit in? Now it says here, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Because these two phrases or these lines does not go with what Paul is talking about in the first part of verse 25. Now when Paul is talking about the first part of 25, He's talking about the future glory. That glory has not yet come. That glory has not yet come. When God is going to be revealed, when Jesus Christ is going to come, we shall be delivered completely from this body of sin or the body of death. Isn't it? We'll be completely delivered from the body of death. We will be getting a glorified body. But what Paul is telling is, till then, till the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, or till He comes again, till we are glorified, he says, I will serve, I myself, that is my inward man, will serve the law of God, but my flesh will serve the law of sin. That is the statement that he is making. And that is true in your life and my life as well. We may be Christians for 20 years or 30 years. You may have a good knowledge of the Word of God. You may be growing in spiritual maturity. But we have this battle always between our old nature and sinful nature. And that is the struggle that Paul pictures here from verses 14 till verse 25. It is the struggle of a mature believer, a born-again Christian. But when we come to chapter 8, he gives us how to be victorious over that struggle. And that is what he speaks in chapter 8. So just to recapitulate what we have seen from verses 14 till verse 25. First, we have seen the character of the conflict. And then we have seen the cause of the conflict. Then we have seen the contention in the conflict between the law of God and the law of sin. And we have finally seen the cry or the confession in the conflict. May the Lord bless this word. I have given you questions, so when you go home, just read them. Read this passage a lot, because I know it is very, very difficult. Of course, people can argue and say, you know, defend and say, this is what I mean, the scriptures, you know, because as I said, there are at least four different views about this passage, and given by different men of God. They are not ordinary people, they are great men of God. So, may the Spirit of the Lord give us that wisdom to understand this passage in the light of other scriptures. And the most important thing is, the truth is that we always struggle with sin in our lives. We cannot get rid of that sin, but we can overcome sin when we serve the Lord in the newness of the Spirit. May the Lord bless this word.